Second Peter chapter 1, let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. Second Peter chapter 1, and we'll start at verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here tonight in the house of the Lord. And we ask tonight for your help. Pray that you'd bless this congregation tonight and you'd anoint us to speak the word of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd edify the body of Christ in this place. Help us, Lord, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be vessels unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And we'll give you the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you tonight for a few minutes on being fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this scripture means something to me. I think about it, I have thought about it often, that there is a possibility for us that we will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, one thing that I dread as a Christian is being barren and unfruitful. But it is the will of God that every Christian be fruitful in the kingdom of God, that we bring forth fruit to the honor of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in the book of St. John, chapter 15, he talks about the true vine. Jesus said, I'm the true vine, my Father's the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. But every branch in me that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So it is the will of God that we be attached to the vine, the true vine, and that we draw from that vine the sustenance that we need in order to bring forth fruit unto the kingdom of God. And I believe that unless there is something in us cutting off the sap of the vine, we will produce fruit. Not through our efforts, but through the sap, the strength of that vine, we will produce fruit to the kingdom of God. Now you know that fruit can be hung on a tree, tied on a tree, taken from somewhere else, and tied on a tree. But that don't make the tree fruitful just because you tie some fruit on it. That fruit has got to come out of the sap of that tree, the strength of that tree. And so when a man is tapped into the source of power and tapped into the source of strength, and we are in the vine, and we are going to bear fruit unto the kingdom of God. The only thing that will keep us from it is if there is something in us that is preventing the spread of the sap of that vine in our life. and the Spirit of God is hindered or grieved in our life, then our fruit will, we will not produce the fruit that we could produce if there was no hindrance in our life. So the Bible says that that vine that's producing fruit, so we're that branch that's producing fruit, we're in the vine, and we're producing fruit. But there's a possibility for us to produce more fruit. So he purges that branch that it might bring forth more fruit. There's a sanctifying grace given to us so that we will produce more fruit in our life. I'm telling you that you may be producing fruit tonight, but you can produce more fruit. If you'll just let the Lord remove every hindrance out of your heart and out of your life, you can produce more fruit for the kingdom of God. And then he goes on to say, herein is my Father glorified, that you produce much fruit. So there's fruit, more fruit, and much fruit that we can produce in the kingdom of God. Brother, we ought never to be satisfied with how fruitful we have been in the kingdom of God, but always reaching forth to be able to produce more fruit for the kingdom of God. Brother, when your life is centered around God's kingdom, when your primary interest in life is not the upbuilding of your own fortune in life, but the upbuilding of God's kingdom in your life, God will make you a fruitful branch in the vine. Hallelujah. And to bring forth fruit in the vine, the Bible teaches us that in order to be fruitful, there has to be an ongoing growth in our life, adding to our faith virtue, adding to virtue knowledge, adding to knowledge temperance, and so on and so forth. There's to be an addition, a growth in our life, a continual adding to our experience. And that person who is growing in the Lord, that person who is continually adding to their experience in God, will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So there is, you know, if we are barren, if we are unfruitful, God has given to us a formula that we don't have to be barren, we don't have to be unfruitful. We can add on to our experience. We add to our faith. Faith is the foundation of our experience. It's what makes us a Christian. Everybody that is a Christian has this foundation. We all have faith in Jesus Christ. This is what makes us a Christian. But we must add to that faith. We add to that faith virtue. We add to that faith knowledge. We add to that faith godliness. We add to that faith temperance. So we keep adding to our experience. Nobody ever backslid adding to their experience, growing in their experience. Nobody ever backslid going forward. And God wants us to understand the importance of bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. The Bible tells us in that parable that Jesus spoke about the sower, the seed, sowing the seed. There was four types of ground, four conditions of the heart. There's the stony ground, hard ground, the stony ground, the polluted ground, and the good ground. And it represents the hard heart, that when the Word of God is sown in that heart, it says, the Bible says, they don't understand the Word, and the devil comes and takes away what they've heard. And that doesn't mean that they couldn't understand it, but when your will is set against receiving the Word of God, the devil will steal from you what has been sown in your mind and heart. But that person who receives the Word of God on that stony ground, and joyfully receives the word, and the seed comes up, and then the sun comes out, and that sun represents persecution, trouble because of faith, and that little plant which is on that stony ground doesn't have any depth of earth and soon withers and dies. And Jesus said that that's the person that receives the word of God, believes it, receives it, but when persecution arises, they fall away. And every plant is going to be tested. The sun's going to rise on everybody's experience. Everybody's going to run into trouble. You're going to find out right quick that not everybody's glad you got saved. That not everybody's glad you've had a change of life. And persecution comes. As many as live godly in Christ Jesus, they shall suffer persecution. And so when that plant doesn't have much root, it soon dies. But that same sun that kills one plant on the stony ground, it makes this plant over here grow. Because that plant over there in good ground sinks its roots a little deeper, gathers the moisture on down deep, and flourishes under the blazing sun. I'm telling you, brother, you don't have to fall away just because there's persecution in your life. You can sink your roots a little bit deeper. When persecution arises, when people make fun of you, when somebody says something against you, instead of getting discouraged and despondent about it, if you'll go to your knees and pray and seek God for divine grace, I tell you, you can sink your roots a little bit deeper, and instead of dying, you can become fruitful in the kingdom of God. He tells us about that ground that had other seed in it, you know. The seed is sown in this ground. It's got thorns and thistles in this ground. And so when the seed comes up, then these other seed come up and choke out the word of God. And Jesus says that represents that heart that when they receive the word of God, then the cares of life and the deceitfulness of riches and pleasures choke that word in their heart. They become unfruitful. So, you know, when there is other seed in the ground competing for the same moisture and nutrients in that ground, everybody that gardens knows what I'm talking about. You got to keep that garden clean to have a fruitful garden. You got to get the weeds out of there, or the weeds will sap the nutrients out of the soil and cause the little plants to die, to wither, to be unfruitful. So you got to clean the ground out. And brother, that's what sanctification does for us. It cleans out the ground, gets the ground clean, takes out those things out of our heart that chokes the word in our life so that we can become fruitful for the kingdom of God. Got to get those other seeds out of there. And when a man gives himself to pleasure, gives himself to the deceitfulness of riches, or is encumbered about with the cares of life, the word of God will be choked in his life and he'll bring forth no fruit. But there's that fertile ground, the seed sown in that fertile ground. And the Bible tells us that's a good and honest heart. A person that's willing to face the truth, accept the truth, and act on the truth. And when that word is sown in that fertile ground, it brings forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. I tell you what we all ought to aim for, 100-fold. Maybe you're bringing forth 30 now. Maybe tomorrow we'll bring forth 60. But we ought to aim for 100-fold. We want God to use us in his kingdom to glorify his name. This scripture's been on my mind. I may preach on it down at the preacher's conference. They've asked me to preach on the preacher's character. And Paul said to Timothy, he said, if a man therefore will purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. I'm telling you that God prepares our heart so that we can produce fruit for the kingdom of God. And we ought to aim for 100-fold. We ought to aim to do as much as we can for the glory of God, to bring in as many souls as we can into the kingdom of God so that we are not barren and we are not unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Poor Brother Ralph, Lowry preached down at the meeting there in Alabama this past week. And you know how direct Brother Ralph is. And he was preaching along these lines of being fruitful for the Lord. And he asked this lady in the congregation, you know how he does, will you get mad at me if I, you know, deal with you? And I know you, and I know you won't get mad at me. And he just goes up to her, and he says to her, now, sister, how many souls have you won to Jesus in the last year? Well, you know, she didn't say anything. She said, did I make you mad? She said, no, I didn't make her mad. But it made everybody in that service, I'm sure, everybody in that service think, how many souls have I won to Jesus in this past year? How many souls have you won to Jesus in this past year? You know, if everybody in this place won one soul to Jesus, we'd double this crowd overnight. I'm telling you, it's the will of God that we be soul winners, isn't it? Jesus said, you come follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. Is that what we are tonight? Fishers of men? This is what Jesus is going to make out of you. If you follow him, Jesus is going to make you a fisher of men. He's going to make you fruitful in the kingdom of God. Oh, you say, well, preacher, you know, I'm just a housewife. I don't get out. I don't have a job. I don't mix in the public. I can't do anything for the Lord. And y'all remember that story I told you about the little lady that was challenged? The evangelist challenged the congregation and said, all right, before you come back to service tomorrow night, I want you to ask somebody, what do you think about Jesus? And this little lady went home. She thought to herself, well, that doesn't apply to me. I'm just a housewife, and I don't ever get out, and I don't run across anybody, and that don't apply to me. So the next day, she gets up. She's sitting at her sewing machine, and she's sewing, and she hears somebody at the door. She recognizes that's the milkman. And the Holy Ghost says to her, this is your opportunity to do what the evangelist said. Oh, she said, he's probably already gone. And she sort of excused herself, and the Holy Ghost said, this is your opportunity to do what the evangelist said. And so she kept on sewing. I'm sure he's already gone. And the Holy Ghost said, again, this is your opportunity to ask somebody, what do you think about Jesus? So she got up from her sewing machine, went to the door and threw it open. The man was walking out the gate, and she hollered after him and said, sir, what do you think about Jesus? The man spun around on his heel, came back to the door, said to her, ma'am, I've been under conviction for 3 days. You're the very woman I need to see. And he gave his heart to Jesus, because there was a woman that was prompted by the Holy Ghost to go tell a man, what do you think about Jesus? And brother, there'll be an opportunity along your way, no matter who you are. There'll be an opportunity along your way to testify to somebody about Jesus Christ. I believe every one of us here could bring somebody to Jesus Christ if we set our mind to do it. If this becomes our goal in life, that we want to be fruitful for the kingdom of God. These little children that we are raising up, we ought to start right there and make sure that every one of those children come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. When we are raising our children, having devotions with them every day, morning and evening, there were times we would see God was working with them in our devotional time. We'd try to seize those moments to deal with their souls, point them to Jesus, try to get them to give their heart to the Son of God. Everybody ought to be watching for that in their children. When God is working with them, lead them to Jesus. When the Holy Ghost has convicted them, lead them to Jesus. Pray over their souls and believe, help them to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, moms and dads can win their children right in their own home. And that's the will of God. We can be fruitful in the kingdom of God. And we ought to aim for 100-fold. Praise God. You know, there's got to be a burden on our hearts, not just the preacher, but everybody that's a Christian ought to be concerned about souls. Concerned about the salvation of souls. Concerned about being a light, a witness for Jesus. The Bible tells us that we are not to put our light under a bushel. We're not to hide our light. But we're to set it on a lampstand so that it gives light to everybody in the room. And we are a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Now, as a lamp, as a candle, as a lamp, that's us as individuals. We have a room to light up. Our room is where we live, our family, where we work, people we work around, where we go to school, our local influence. That's our room. And the Bible says, as a candle, as a lamp, we're to be set on a lampstand so that the people in our room are lighted by the fire and the light in our lamp. And we sing a song sometimes, you know, the little children sing a song sometimes. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And I know that that's not just for children. That's for all of us. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I'm not going to hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let my little light shine. And corporately, together, as a body of Christ, worldwide, we are a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. My light is burning in my room. Your light is burning in your room. Every child of God is letting their light shine. The world cannot ignore us. All around the world, there's light burning. We are a city, corporate, people of God, a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. And the world needs that light. It's a light of hope. It's a light of salvation. The world needs that light. It's a dark world, brother. I'm telling you, it's a dark world. And you and I are the hope of this world. We're to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Have you done any good works lately to glorify the Lord? Visited anybody that was sick? Prayed with them? Testified to somebody about Jesus? Comforted somebody that was grieving? Offered the solace of the Word of God in prayer? Have you done any good works lately that bring glory to the Son of God? He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Isn't this the way our light shines? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When he talks about our light shining, he's talking about our good works. That the world can see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. We don't do our good works in order for the world to praise us. We don't crave the praise of men. We do our good works so that our Father which is in heaven will be glorified. This is our purpose and aim in life. Have you done some good works lately? So that the Lord will be glorified and praised. This is to be the ultimate outcome of our Christian experience, is that men will praise our Father because of the life that we have lived. Our life will bring forth fruit to the kingdom of God. Brother, I'm looking for the Lord to do wonderful things. I told you, I think on the first Sunday of this year, that I think we're on the verge of something big. I still believe that. I believe we're on the verge of something big. I believe as the people of God, if our hearts are united together to glorify the Lord, to let our light shine, to be a soul winner for Christ, to be a fisher of men, to bring forth fruit for the kingdom of God. Our hearts are united in this purpose of honoring the Lord, doing the will of God, being that city set on a hill, being that lamp on the lampstand in our room. I'm telling you, there is no telling what God will do with this group of people, this body of people right here at the Martinsville Church of Truth. And everybody contributing their little bit, you know. I know we're not all preachers, and we're not all Sunday school teachers, and we're not all talented to sing, we're not all talented to play music, and we don't all have the same gift. But I'm telling you, when you are full of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, and he quoted Joel the prophet, and he said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. There's going to be coming out of them anointed speech. Jesus said in Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. And you know, God help us. God help me. You know, there's been times that I've gone through periods of time that I haven't been as good a witness as I should have been. And I have had to repent before God. Lord, have mercy upon me and make me the kind of witness that I need to be. When we're full of the Holy Ghost, brother, I'm telling you, the devil can't keep us quiet. When we're full of the Holy Ghost, we're going to say something for Jesus. We're going to look for somebody to be a blessing to. We're going to look for somebody to tell them about Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Now, you got my question? Brother Ralph's question. How many souls have you won in this past year? Is your candlestick sitting on the lampstand so that everybody can see it? Are you letting your light so shine before men they may see your good works? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, you know, let me just sound this little warning, and I'm going to call us to prayer. John 15, he says, every branch in me that bringeth not fruit, what he say did, he took it away, threw it in the fire, because it didn't bring forth any fruit. Is it that important that we bring forth fruit? Is that important that we bring forth fruit? That we do what we can, whatever God has gifted us to do. You know, some of us are good talkers, and God gifts some people like that, gives them the gift of gab, you know. And Brother Ralph Lowry told me, he said, God's gifted me, I can talk to anybody. So I can talk to the president. So I believe it. I believe you can. I believe you can do it. And so, you know, the Lord's gifted some people like that. Me and Brother Eddie Ray ain't gifted like that, are we, brother? But the Lord's gifted all of us in some way that we can be a light and a help to somebody by using whatever gifts God's given us, that we can be a blessing to somebody, to lead somebody to Jesus Christ. So however God's gifted you, say, Lord, what you put in my hands, I'm going to use it for the glory and honor of God and the salvation of souls. How about that? I want us to come to the altar tonight, and I want us to tell the Lord at this altar, Lord, don't let me go through this year without winning somebody to Jesus Christ. Would you do that? Would you come and just tell the Lord that, Lord, don't let me go through this year without winning somebody to Jesus Christ. Let me be a light in a dark world, shining the light of Jesus. This is what our light's supposed to do, not to shine on me, not to shine on us. Our light is to shine on Jesus. You take a flashlight out here in the darkness, turn that flashlight on, you can't see what's behind it. You can see what it's shining on. And that's what we're supposed to do, not to shine it on us. Shine our light on Jesus, so that Jesus will be magnified and glorified in our life. Praise the Lord. I feel His presence here. I know things are not high tonight, but I feel the presence of the Lord here. I feel like the Lord would like to help us, that we'd be a better light for Jesus. And this would be our goal in life, that we would bring forth fruit 100-fold for Jesus